Hello, fellow travelers, and welcome to Adventures in Security, episode 31 for June 25th, 2006. I'm your host, Tom Olzak. This is a weekly podcast, Public G Sunday. You can find the information covered in our episodes at blogs.ittoolbox.com/security/adventures. If you're interested in commenting on what you hear or about topics you'd like us to talk about, please send email to podcasts@adventuresinsecurity.com. This is the second in a 12-episode series in which we're going to look at web application security. I'm using the OWASP Top 10 list as the basis for the series. So over the next 12 weeks, we'll look at the challenges facing organizations that are increasing their use of web technologies, the top 10 vulnerabilities typically found in those organizations, and ways to manage the resulting risk. This week's episode covers the first of the top 10 vulnerabilities, unvalidated input. But before we get started, I wanted to announce that the paperback edition of my book, Just Enough Security, is now available at barnesandnoble.com and amazon.com. So go check it out and let me know what you think. Now let's move on to this week's topic, unvalidated input in web applications. According to the OWASP guide, unvalidated input is the most common weakness found in web apps. Tainted input leads to almost all other vulnerabilities in these environments. Before we look at how to prevent this weakness from spreading throughout your web solutions, let's examine the potential threats to your business when tainted input is allowed to reach your processing components. Inputs from any one of the sources to your web apps impacts how an application accesses, processes, and displays data. Some of these sources include browsers, web services, and databases. For example, attackers might add, delete, or modify URL parameters in a query string. Hidden form fields can be changed in the form resubmitted. Database information, especially fields written by other apps, might be either purposely or accidentally tainted. There are many possible negative outcomes if input containing either improperly formatted or invalid and malicious content reaches a business-critical web app. The following are just a few. The first is improper HTML display. The lowest impact display issue would be an unprofessional portrayal of your site. On the other end of the spectrum, tainted input can render your display unusable. Further, attackers can force errors in application output to gain some idea of the diligence with which your developers tighten up their code. If it's easy to hack a display, it's a good bet that it's just as easy to crack other application components. The next outcome is bypassed client-side validation. Client-side validation isn't really validation. It isn't very difficult for an attacker to disable script execution on her workstation, enter malicious, invalid form input, and then submit the form. If there's no validation on the server side of the transaction, server crashes and the execution of rogue commands are just two of the possible outcomes. Next is cross-site scripting. Text fields that are not validated might contain HTML tags like script and object that execute code unexpectedly. Another outcome is generation of informational error messages. By forcing certain types of error messages, an attacker can obtain application and operating system version and patch level information about your system. This information is commonly used in the first phase of an attack, which is called footprinting. In footprinting, an attacker needs to understand what your network looks like, the different kinds of operating systems, the version levels, and what patches you have and have not applied. The next possible outcome is buffer overflow. Attackers can cause buffer overflows to crash a system or to execute malicious code. Unauthorized access is another problem outcome. Access to files might be obtained by manipulating paths. For example, if you get a parameter such as paper ID equals 235 that brings up a paper that is stored and delivered on a website, and the person wants to look at, see what other papers might be available, they could manipulate the paper ID of 235 and bring up, until they can bring up information that has some value to them. And the final outcome is SQL injection. This type of attack exposes company databases to unauthorized modification, deletion or addition of data. It's caused by an attacker including SQL code in the input to a form field or by directly manipulating query strings. So this is quite a list of vulnerabilities, but it isn't complete. Vulnerabilities are limited only by your system's unique weaknesses and the creativity of the attacker. The only truly effective defense against tainted input is to secure the code used to deploy the application. The following are some principles your development teams should consider. First, validate everything. Inspect what you expect and reject anything unexpected. Second, perform all validation on the server. Client-side validation is suspect for reasons given earlier in this episode. Third, use positive filtering instead of negative filtering. In other words, check for what should be present instead of for what shouldn't. Validating for what shouldn't be in the input leaves too many open holes in the validation process. Let's face it, there's just too many variations to check when you're using negative filtering. So when using positive filtering, possible checks include: is it the right data type? In other words, if it's supposed to be a string, is it a string? If it's supposed to be an integer, is it an integer? Is the parameter required? Is the character set that's used, that's input, allowed? Does the input meet minimum and maximum length constraints? Is null allowed? If numeric, is the input within range constraints? Does the input cause data duplication? And if so, is it acceptable? Does the input meet format requirements, for example, when compared to a regular expression? And if selected from a list, does the parameter contain a valid value? Actually, the optimum way to provide input from a list to an application is to enumerate the list. So instead of passing a text parameter or a string to the application, pass a number. And that number then should be converted on the server side to the appropriate action or selection that was made by the user. Another thing that your development team should consider is to perform internal code reviews or buddy checks. The first line of defense is having your programmers check each other's work. And as we'll see later in this series, there are also automated ways to perform this task. And finally, make sure that quality assurance processes include testing not only valid input, but also invalid input. Some development environments provide ready-made controls for validation. For example, the following validators are available on ASP.NET. Required field indicator. This validator forces entry of a value. Compare validator. It compares input values. Range validator checks input for compliance with range constraints. Regular expression validator validates user input with regular expressions. And custom validator allows creation of customized validation routines. Your approach to validating input will be as unique as your development environment. The one common requirement across all environments, however, is development of appropriate policies, standards, guidelines, practices, and developer awareness. So that's it for this week. Next week, we're going to examine the second OWASP Top 10 vulnerability, broken access control. And until then, be careful what you click.